For the last couple weeks, Jack Brinkman and Nick Ripken have been meeting with persecuted Christians in a secret location. They've just concluded an incredible time of teaching and learning from these five guys whose newfound faith in Jesus puts them in jeopardy every day. As Jack and Nick reflect on their visit with these men, the mysterious Dr. Feingold reestablishes contact. Because of a couple intense scenes in this episode, please ask your parents to listen along with you if you're under the age of 10.
Guess who?
The doctor who dumped us at the airport with those five guys?
Yeah, he's wondering if we survived. It says, I have a very interesting person you really need to meet. What do you think, Jack? You up for another adventure?
What could go wrong, right?
He'll pick us up in front of our hotel. Let's start walking that way. Have you heard from your family?
Yes, they're doing fine.
Any new developments with your daughter and her potential fiancé?
When I get back, I'm going to have to give Anthony my answer.
You know what you're going to say?
Not yet, but I did get a pretty cool email from Michelle. I don't think she'd mind me sharing it with you. Here, listen to this. Hey, Dad, I've been thinking a lot about how I've been acting toward you.
Regarding my relationship with Anthony. I've been almost in agony about whether or not you would approve. And, in my worrying, I lost sight of the importance that your role plays in our relationship. I'm sorry for my bad attitude. Dad, I trust you
as you seek God's guidance. I love you.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
So, how about you?
What do you mean?
Are you ready to trust?
I don't know if trusting is the issue here, Nick. I'm supposed to protect Michelle.
That's true. But remember, the Lord is involved in the process. Are you trusting Him with your daughter?
That's a good question. It can't be him. Oh, no.
Hi, Dr. Feingold.
Get in. It'll be a little tight, but you will fit.
Two people in a motorbike sidecar, is that safe?
Jack here has young children.
Ach, you'll be fine. Please, we must go now or my contact could leave.
Okay, you first, Nick.
Over here. Okay. Yeah. Okay, we're ready.
I am taking you to see an amazing man.
Okay.
This guy has an incredible story. He is from bordering country, but commanded an elite group of special forces. They resisted the invasion of this nation by a foreign army. He agreed to travel here and meet with you. But only under his terms. You will be meeting in an abandoned warehouse. You will not be able to see his face, but you must never know his name.
That's agreeable. I've learned to let those in the greatest danger set their own security parameters.
Makes sense.
We are a little late. I hope he didn't leave. I'll be back in 1 hour or so.
This area looks a little sketchy. What if he's not here?
Jack, help me slide this door. Dark in here.
Aren't there any other lights?
It looks like it's just that single bulb at the other end. Hello? Anybody in here? I'm a friend of Dr. Feingold. Is anyone here?
Walk towards the light.
Must be him.
There are many obstacles. Be careful.
Ow!
Stop! Come no closer. I will stay behind this curtain. You will see only my silhouette. You must not try to identify me, find out where I live, or use my name.
These terms are agreeable. Would you mind if we record this?
That would be fine.
Okay. I need just a moment.
Okay.
I'm ready.
Our time is short, so I will begin my story. During the invasion of my country, I led a squad of 15 soldiers committed to repel the foreign invaders. I took great joy when I could kill an enemy soldier at night for the sake of my religion. I killed many people.
How many?
I stopped counting when the number reached 100. Those were people I killed personally, not in battle.
They retreat! We did it, Sharab!
The same. We couldn't have done it without him. He led us to victory.
We have never fought with greater men. We cannot lose under the commander. Sir, the invaders flee!
You downed helicopter.
I wasn't the only one firing at it. You are true warriors. You fight with honor. Now, we return to base camp for the night. Tomorrow, we head south to surprise the enemy at their doorstep. Wake up, men. I made you food.
Oh, winter has come early.
Why are you cooking, Commander? It's not your job.
You men deserved a special meal after yesterday's victory. Besides, I could not sleep. Let's go, wake up.
I heard him calling out again last night.
Commander was probably dreaming about Hawa. He's had his eye on her since we were young.
See him?
I wish I had been dreaming of Hawa.
Is something wrong, sir? During the night, you have been restless.
I have been dreaming.
Do you remember this dream?
Yes, I do, Sharaf.
What is it?
It is always the same. I have blood running down my hands, and I can't get it off. Every night.
It is because you have killed so many men. You have done well for your country.
I suppose.
Commander, everyone is waiting to leave.
I... be right there.
Cleaning up?
I can't get it off.
Get what off, sir?
Look, my hands.
I am looking. I do not see anything.
Blood all over my hands. I cannot scrub it off with the sand from the river.
There is no blood on your hands, Commander.
You cannot see this?
No. Your hands are perfectly clean. A bit red from rubbing, perhaps, but no blood.
It is the same as my dreams.
The men are ready. Shall we go?
Yes, we can go. When I began to see the blood during my waking hours, I was even more upset. And no amount of washing or scrubbing with sand or pumice could make me clean.
Wow.
I realized early on that in my dreams I was imagining the blood of all the people I had killed. The dreams were so real, so disturbing, that I dreaded falling asleep at night. I really thought I was going insane.
I can imagine.
Then one night, the dream changed. As I stood there, helplessly watching the blood run down my arms, I also saw in my dream a man standing before me. He was clothed in white with a scarred head. He also had scarred hands and scarred feet. He said, "I am Jesus, the Messiah, and I can get the blood off, if you will just find me and believe in me." I had no idea how to find Jesus. Still, I began to search. It took me over a year to find a copy of the scripture. I read it secretly. It took even longer for me to understand what I was reading. From time to time, I would find someone who could answer some of my questions. And finally, I found Jesus. When I accepted Jesus as my savior, I got the blood off. Jesus took that blood onto himself. Immediately, the dreams ended.
That is amazing.
Incredible.
I returned to my hometown and told Hawa about my new faith. She became a Christian, and we married. I left my soldiers and my old way of life. They knew I had become a follower of Jesus, so we hid in a different part of the country. There was nobody to teach us, no church to attend, no group to study the Bible. So I kept reading and studying on my own. I did everything the Lord told me to do. Eventually, I began to smuggle Bibles and other Christian material into my country.
I packed extra socks in case it gets cold in the mountains.
Thank you, my love. When I am gone, please stay at the house. I have heard rumors.
Rumors of what?
I heard someone at the market mentioning converts in our village. I am afraid they were talking about us. You have not told anyone of Jesus, have you?
Yes, I told Nadia.
Hawa, if the authorities found out, you would be thrown into prison. And if word gets back to my soldiers, then they find us. They could kill us. You must be silent about this. I wouldn't be able to bear it if something happened to you.
But she needs to know also.
I realize that you want her to meet Jesus. But you must be smart about these things. Please, do not say anything else, okay? At least not until I get back from this trip.
Yes, dear. Then, we can talk about what we should name the baby.
What did you say?
Our baby will have eyes like yours, I think.
Hawa, I love you.
Brother.
There you are.
Thank you for coming again. Did you bring them?
Yes, I have 5 Bibles.
Thank you. Praise God.
And here, take these.
What are they?
These are copies of the Jesus film in our language.
If you didn't bring us Bibles, nobody would know of him. But now, our small community is growing, and many more will come to faith because of your bravery. I pray that God blesses you.
Thank you.
Now go, brother, and be very careful. There are bandits in this area.
My pockets are empty, but thank you for the warning.
Be especially careful by the straight red cliff about 4 miles from here. You know the one I speak of?
Yes.
They watch for travelers from there, and then attack when the path turns back towards the mountain.
I will be careful.
May God be with you, brother.
And you. God, thank you for saving me and letting me carry your word to my countrymen. Please, help them to read those Bibles and watch the film so they can come to know you as I have come to know you. And Lord, thank you for my new child. Thank you for my wife. Please, keep her safe. Ah, where can I hide? Ah, there. Oh, I need to get off of this mountain. I am too exposed here.
Stop.
Hello, soldier.
Man, look who came back.
It's the old commander.
We know why you left us.
Why would that be?
Because you are a traitor. You betrayed your faith.
I discovered the truth, Racine.
Blasphemy. Beat him! You will die for this.
I am ready to see my lord.
To your lord you shall go. Show him no mercy.
See him? Let us think about this. Maybe we'll be in foolish.
Stop, men. What do you propose? The law requires his life.
If we kill him now, we may never know who he is working with or who the traitors are on either side of the border. Let me take him to the town at the bottom of the mountain. If I can get him patched up, I'll hold him prisoner. When he is well enough to talk again, we can interrogate him, torture him slowly if we have to, until he tells us what we need to know. We might learn something important if we are patient and do this right. Come on, you old mule. We must hurry.
What did you say?
I'm surprised you can speak after that beating.
Shut up. Why am I still alive? I thought you were going to kill me.
We were, but I talked them out of it.
That was kind of you. Oh, can you ask your mule to walk more gently?
I'm sorry. He's a rough road.
You are my good Samaritan.
I'm your what?
Never mind. Why did you save me?
I told them I would nurse you back to health so we can interrogate you.
Oh, well, I am not going to tell you anything.
Yes, I know that.
So why did you save me?
I am also a follower of Jesus.
What? How?
You smuggled Bibles into my village. I found one of those Bibles. I've read it completely, 3 times. 2 months ago, I gave my life to him.
You do not know how happy this makes me.
I have been planning to leave the group, but in my heart I felt God wanted me to stay. Today I understand why. He wanted me there to save your life. Now I can leave.
You do realize they will look for you.
I know this, but they will not find me. Thank you, Commander. Thank you for risking your life to bring people Bibles.
How could I do anything less for my Jesus?
Nick and Jack listened for close to an hour as the man continued to tell stories of how God had used him. He described how he had been stoned, left for dead, and beaten numerous times since he became a follower of Jesus.
I have endured all of this gladly because of his great love for me.
Oh, what a story.
Please excuse me while I take this call. Hello?
Jack, I've done this enough to sometimes hear what people are not saying and what things they are uncomfortable talking about. I believe there is something he's not telling us. Start praying.
All right. Thank you. Goodbye. Sorry for the interruption. My ride comes soon to get me.
I have so much respect and appreciation for your willingness to talk to me. I'm inspired by your testimony, and I praise God with you for all that the Lord has done in and through you. Because of your testimony, my life and faith will never be the same again. Thank you.
You are welcome.
I do have a question, though.
Okay.
You've told me that you're married and that you led your wife to Christ. What I'm wondering is this. Where does your wife fit into your ministry? You haven't really talked about that. How does she help you? What is happening with your family now?
Nick, look out!
How can God ask it? Tell me, how can God ask it?
Let go of him!
Please, calm down!
I have given him everything. My body is broken. I have been jailed. I have been starved. I have been beaten. I have been left for dead. I have even been willing to die for Jesus. But you know what I fear? When I go to bed at night, what keeps me awake and what actually terrifies me is the thought that God might ask of my wife and my child what I have already willingly given him. How can he ask it? Tell me, how could God ask that of my wife and my son?
Lord, I need your wisdom right now. I personally can't answer your questions. But I would ask you another question that I have had to ask myself. Is Jesus worth it? Is he worth your life? Is he worth the lives of your wife and your children? It's all right.
I am sorry.
It's all right.
Jesus is worth it. I will trust God to take care of my family.
Brother, God will honor this decision.
Can we pray before you leave?
I would like that.
Jack, go ahead.
Jesus, We thank you for our brother. And what you have done through his life. As he continues to serve you, now with his family, guide them and protect them. Do you think he's coming?
He said he'd be here by 4, but who knows when it comes to that Dr. Feingold.
Well, that was really intense.
Man, it took a couple seconds for my heart to start beating again after he grabbed my shoulders.
Yeah.
All I could think about was how many people those same hands had killed. Thanks for intervening.
I'm afraid I wouldn't have been able to do much if he really wanted to hurt you.
I think that's the toughest man I've ever met.
Michelle told me you had quite a trip, Mr. Brinkman.
Sure did. Anthony, let's sit in the dining room.
Yeah, it looks a little more private.
Well, we finally get our opportunity to meet. Susan and I come here every Monday night for our date night.
You still date?
Absolutely. More than ever.
I've never been here. Well, except for the day the police destroyed Ian's robot.
You like chips and salsa?
Sure.
I'm buying. Their fajitas are great.
Actually, I'm not that hungry.
I understand. Let's get the business out of the way.
Okay.
I read your responses to the questions I asked. I appreciate the thought you put into them.
Thank you, sir.
Anthony, I'll get right to it. I would be delighted for you to marry my daughter.
Really?
Really. Congratulations.
Thank you, sir.
However, if you ever make my daughter cry, I will have to...
I'll treat her well, sir. I promise.
I know you will.
Wow. I can't believe it.
What did you expect?
I guess... I'm not sure.
I'm so pleased that you and Michelle honored me through this. I realize it hasn't been easy.
No, it hasn't. But I know that all you do is because of your love for Michelle.
Yeah. I do really love her. And as her father, I do have a responsibility. But during this last trip, I came to realize that some of my hesitation was motivated by selfish reasons.
What do you mean?
Well, for the last few years, we've been visiting missionaries around the world telling their stories. Doing this as a family has been one of the highlights of my life. I realize now, I didn't want anything to change that.
And I am changing things for you, aren't I?
Yes. But the idea that a daughter leaves her family and cleaves to her husband was God's idea. It's just taken me a while to get used to it. While I was gone with Nick, I met this guy, and I watched him trust God with his family. That helped me to let go. I'm glad I met him.
So am I, sir.
You've been listening to the Brinkman Adventures, and while portions are fictitious, today's episode, Toughest Man, is based on a real person and actual events. To find out more information about this story, or to get your own copy of Toughest Man, please visit our website, brinkmanadventures.com, and join us next time as Susan and Khitri head to Cambodia, where Khitri finds herself in a precarious situation.
Hi guys, this is Ian Boltman, creator of the Brinkman Adventures, and I'm joined in studio with the actors who play the Brinkman kids, along with my lovely wife, Amy. Can you guys all say hi to our listeners?
Hello.
Hi. Hi guys.
Hi.
We are often asked, is the Brinkman family a real family? Well, the answer to that question is both yes and no. The Brinkmans are based off my family, and my kids play the Brinkman kids. Mike Landers plays Jack, and Shannon Zorn plays Susan. Alyssa here plays Michelle Brinkman.
Hi guys. Many of the family stories are inspired by things that really happened to us.
Like in season 1 when Dad's phone got ran over and still worked, that really happened.
However, we never received a lucrative advertising deal with a major phone company.
This is Michaela and I play Khitri. For the record, I do like pigs, but I've never owned one. Also, in this season, Khitri's writing a novel. I really do love writing, and I'm working on several projects at the moment.
Sometimes in the Brinkman Adventures, we create stories about things that we want to do, but we haven't actually done yet.
I haven't built a robot like our Deep, but I hope to one day.
I have programmed a microcontroller in my room to respond to voice commands and turn the lights on and off.
And it doesn't always work. And that's frustrating.
Whatever.
I'm Evelyn, and I play Hope. I listened to Brinkman Adventures when I was a baby. So I was really happy when I finally got to play Hope. Now sometimes I forget when I'm a Brinkman or a Boatman.
The Brinkman characters and experiences are not always a reflection of real life. Sometimes we'll have a Brinkman character go through a struggle that's a little more dramatic than what actually happened.
Because, after all, a trip down the mountain chased by wolves makes for better radio drama than a walk along the shores of Lake Michigan.
If you want to know what's true and what's made up in our episodes, check out our website. All right, Joey and Peter, why don't you guys wrap this up for us?
And now you know a little more about the family behind the family.
Can you say bye, Peter?
See you later.